Aleph, kind of gave me the whole nefesh and the tamei adam. The tamei shivas. Anyone who touches a dead body, the whole nefesh adam, the tamei shivas. So before clarify, because I'm really sure, but Rabbi, can you hear me clearly?
Rabbi, could you talk a little louder?
You know, please. Sorry, it's not loud enough.
It's okay.
All right, let me make it closer. I'll hold it. I don't have my regular equipment here with me, because I was rushing to get here on time. Okay. Pasuk Yud Aleph says, Hanageya, anyone that touches a dead body, anyone who touches a dead body, L'chol Nefesh Adam, V'tanei, he'll be coming for Shabbat for 7 days. Rashi, because there is no Rashi. Targum, the Yikra, the Mesa, anyone that goes near, he learns the word Hanageya means to come near. The Yikra, the Mesa, L'chol Nafsha, the Enosha, any human being, the hay mitzvah, the person shall become a shiva yomim for 7 days. Now the word shiva yomim, shivat yomim, the targum of the word shivat yomim is a bit unusual. Why is it unusual? So give me one moment. I always have this book right over here. Okay. Pasuk Perek Yutes. Perif Yitzhak Pasik Shavasimim. Targum here, he will be coming for 7 days. He actually doesn't explain it. Okay, so he doesn't explain it over here. So 1 second, the guy seems like I got something fine. All right, let's go for the next. Pasik Yibay. Now, who this person? This person that's coming, the person that is coming, he shall yischatabo shall be purified, or according to the Targum, yadei v'aloyi, the water of the paraduma shall be sprinkled upon the one who is coming by yom hashlishi v'yom hashvi'i on day three and on day seven v'yom hashlishi. Sorry, v'yom hashvi'i yitar. Now notice it does. Okay, let's go further in the pasuk. The im lo yischata b'yom hashvi'i v'yom hashvi'i lo yitar. This pasuk is very interesting. It's a very, very interesting pasuk. The pasuk in the beginning of the pasuk appears to contradict the end of the pasuk. The beginning of the pasuk says that he only shall be sprinkled on day three. What is that? Who yischata vo? Who this person? The person who is tamei l'chol nefesh adam. He shall be the recipient of the sprinkling of the Parah Adum water by Yom Hashlishi on day three, period. And then it says, what happens after day three? Wait, just wait for the Parah Adum water to do its magic. And after it was done on day three, in other words, the person became Tamei on Sunday. So Sunday is day one. Monday is day two. Tuesday is day three. On day three, he presents himself before the Kohen, before the Kohanim, before anybody who has the paraduma water, and they sprinkle the water upon his head. Even the Chazal, Halacha Lamayis, even a teeny mashtuhu, the smallest amount of water has to come upon him, and that's sufficient. That's what it says. Who? This individual who has been came in contact with the dead body, yischatovo, he shall be purified. The Targum learns he shall be the recipient of the sprinkling of the Parah Adum water by Yom Hashlishi, period. And then we would continue to use it at face value. He sits around with nothing for 5, 6, 7. Shabbos will be day seven from the time that he became contaminated. Uvayom hashvi'i automatically yitzhar. The pasuk here makes no mention that the sprinkling shall be done on day seven as well. But then the pasuk contradicts itself and it says the im lo yischata b'yom hashlishi uvayom hashvi'i. If he is not purified both on day three and day seven, lo yitzhar. So there appears to be a contradiction between the beginning and the beginning. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, "Who yischata bo be'ether hapara? He, this individual who is tamei, shall be sprinkle, purify, the quote, Rashi, Rashi means purify, for he shall receive the ish on the ash of the para. That's all it says. Let's see the Targum. Targum is Targum plus the base, who? Yadei Alohi, this person, the person who is Tame, Yadei Alohi, it shall be sprinkled upon him, Biyama Tili Sa'ah, the period, Uvi Yayma, Shivi Asa, he shall be pure. Then it says, Imlo Yadei Alohi, Biyama Tili Sa'ah, Uvi Yayma, Shivi Asa, if they did not sprinkle upon him on day 3 and day 7, lo yitke, he is not purified. So how do we reconcile the contradiction of this pasuk? So this is not really for now, but basically, the difference between the first, there's a lot of love missing in Paraduma, which we don't get to learn, because whoever learns Paraduma, it's only Mishnah, it's no Gemara, the murder is not very much Paraduma, it's only Mishnayis. There are three dinim, it's the briskest thing of Paraduma. There are two dinim in Paraduma. There's the person's responsibility that he shall be sprinkled upon, and then there is the responsibility of society that they shall seek out to make sure people are pure. Society is an obligation that society has to make sure that the people, the Kohanim, they are responsible for the spiritual welfare of society. A person is responsible for his own spiritual health. A person's responsibility for himself is less, believe it or not, than the responsibility of the Kohanim. A person only has to make sure that he is sprinkled upon on day 3. That's it. Who? The person who is Tameh. I have a responsibility to myself. So what do I do? I come to the Kohanim, I say, Kohanim, I'm Tameh. I am contaminated. I have impurity. Help me, please. And the Kohanim say, well, when did you become Tameh? On Sunday? You need to wait until day 3, day 1, day 2, day 3. It's Tuesday. Okay, now we're going to sprinkle the water of the Paraduma upon you. This individual is done. He has done his duty to purify himself from a spiritual contamination. He needs just to wait 3 or 4 more days and then automatically he's tough. However, the Torah is addressing the rabbinate. If a Balava comes to you and says, Rabbi, I got a problem, you, the rabbi, have to follow up. You just don't let your person got a problem. And here I am on day 3. And okay, I'm done. I've done my obligation. The second half of the pasuk is not addressing the person upon whom the water is being sprinkled. It is addressing the Bezdin. It is addressing the Kohanim. It's thinking like in the modern day situation of all of us, Rabbi, a terrible tragedy happened to me. Something happened. I need your help. Okay, what do you need? I need A, B, C, D. The rabbi makes phone calls, he does it himself, and he makes sure everything is taken care of immediately. That's it. The person who needs help, he goes home. Everything now, problem has been solved. He's done. The person has an obligation to take care of himself. He has to go into the rabbi and I need help. But that's it, he's done. But the rabbi's not done. The rabbi has to follow up. That's his duty, to go back on day 7. It's an amazing insight into how the Torah demands from the rabbinate. Pasuk begins, Hu yischata vo bayom hashlishi, period. Doesn't say in the pasuk anyway that he shall be, that the person himself has an obligation that the water should be sprinkled upon him on day 7. Doesn't say that. The second half of the pasuk is addressing who? That's addressing the one, not addressing the person. It's not the who. That's not the who. That's the people who are responsible to make sure that the water is applied to him. The bottom line is he has to have the water on day 3 and day 7. The only difference is whose responsibility is it that this shall be done. Pasuk Gimel. Now we go further. Kohen Geber Meis, B'nefesh Hadam, Asher Yom, Lo Yischata. Now we discuss a person that does not follow the protocol, a person that touches a dead body, B'nefesh, a dead body, B'nefesh Hadam, Notice here in Pasuk Gimel, it's not the same thing as Pasuk. It's not the same as Pasuk Yud Beis. Pasuk Yud Aleph is an Agad made the whole Nefesh Adam, any Neshama. Here it says, first of all, here it says Kol Hanogea. The word Kol is the beginning. And it's some news on your put in the one on mute.
Does anyone hear Rabbi Levine? Does anyone hear Rabbi Levine?
No, no.
No? Hi, Laser. You hear Rabbi Levine?
No, I don't hear him.
Oh.
I'm...
You're trying to wave him?
You yeah, dropped out. Did he tell
doesn't want... I don't hear him either.
He doesn't look at the screen. I put the hand of the ear.
Still talking?
Yeah, he's but he's busy looking in the safer. He doesn't hear us. Your system is down. The system is down. Good. Everybody wave your hands. Everybody wave. Everybody wave. Come on. Flash it until the ear. Laser, move your hands. Move your hands.
He thinks we're playing with him. He thinks we're playing with him. We don't hear
Come
you.
On, Mark.
Come on. Let's go, Rabbi. Get with the program.
No. Come on.
No voice.
Tell him. Make your
hands. He's now connecting out here.
He knows it now. Now
did you hear anything I said?
No. You're off for the last 4 minutes.
We you heard the word that I said, so why
no.
don't
A word.
Not a word.
Not a word.
The last word was
so
song.
Busy looking in the safer, you don't it's see anything.
Oh, no. So why did you call me? Why
if
did
you call
me?
You did, it's over. You missed it.
Why didn't you call me?
We tried.
My other phone is being charged. That's why.
No one called me here. I don't
no, we it. Waved at you. We all waved at you.
Send a message. Message, no voice.
Start again. All right, let's start again.
The last thing was the rabbi is responsible for following up. Again?
Now you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, you hear me. All right.
We hear you now. Mark, stop grinning.
All right, let's go. So let's start again. Let's start again. Let's go very quickly. I know we were up to Pasuk Yud Aleph. Pasuk Yud Aleph, Pasuk Yud Beis says, Hu Yitzchak Abev Yom HaShlish Yom HaShri Yitar. Pasuk Yud Beis. I'm going back to Pasuk Yud Beis.
You gimbal, baby.
Pasuk Yud Beis has two parts. Pasuk Yud Beis says, Hu Yitzchak Abev Yom HaShlish Yom period. This individual who is Tamei, he has a responsibility that the water of the Paraduma shall be sprinkled upon him on day 3, period. And then the Pasuk concludes, this section of the Pasuk concludes, Uvayim HaShavi'i Yitar. All he needs to do is to wait. Wait 4 more days and automatically he's tar. The first half of the Pasuk does not indicate, does not mention anywhere that he needs water to be sprinkled upon him on day 7. All it says in this first part of the Pasuk is, they shall sprinkle water upon him on day 3. And then he just sits and waits and does absolutely nothing until day 7 comes. And on day 7, automatically you start. Then the second half of the Pasuk says, but the imlo yischata, if he is not purified, if he did not sprinkle the water, by yom ha-shvishi, yom ha-shvi'i, lo yitar. He is not pure. What's shot? And the end of the Pasuk says that they have to sprinkle upon him on day 7 as well as day 3. The first half of the Pasuk says they only need to sprinkle upon him on day 3. And why the repetition? So I don't know if you heard what I said. The difference is there's a lumdish din here in this Pasuk. And the Pasuk is telling us, giving an example. Let's say you have a person who comes to a rabbi. Says, Rabbi, something terrible happened. Tragedy happened. I need help. Please help me. So the rabbi right away springs into action and he does everything he needs that this person needs. The person now has solved his problems and goes home. The rabbi has an obligation to follow up on day 7. To follow up. The person has an obligation to help himself. Every person has a requirement that needs to be done. He needs help. So who? This individual who is tame. He is tame. He has a duty to purify himself so he can bring korbanos. He can live a life of purity. He has to take care of himself. He does. He goes to the kohen and he tells the kohen, "Kohen, I came in contact with a dead body. I need para aduma water." So the kohen says, "When did you come in contact with the dead?" "Sunday." "Okay, we wait 3 days. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. It's now Tuesday. They sprinkle upon him Tuesday. This person has fulfilled his duty. I went. I have a problem. I went to the kohen. The kohen sprinkled water on day 3. He now just needs to wait it out. You wait it out until day 7. The second half of the pasuk is not addressing the person anymore. It's addressing the kohen. Kohen, a person came to you with a tzara. He needed help. And you helped him? That's not enough. You have to follow up. You have to go and check out the situation on day 7. The second half of the pasuk is addressing the kohanim, or the people that are the ones that are helping him. The imlo yishata b'yom hashlishi uva'yom hashvi'i lo yitar. You will not be able to help this person unless you sprinkle upon him water on day 3 and on day 7. The person himself who needs the help only has an obligation to come and seek help for the first day, for day 3. But once you know his matzah and you have assisted him in his difficulty, you, the rabbi, have a duty to follow up and help him more on day 7. A person has responsibility to help himself, but other people, outsiders, have even a greater responsibility. Not only must they help him in his time of need, they have to follow up to make sure everything is fine and good at a later point in time. That's how you understand this part in the pasuk. There are two parts of the pasuk. First part is himself, the second part is someone else. Now, pasuk Yud Gimel, Kol Hanogev Emes B'Nefesh Adam Asher Yomus V'Lo Yishchata Esem Mishchat Shem Tumiyav Nechas HaNefesh HaHi. Anyone that comes in contact with the dead body, a nefesh ha'adam, which dies, and he does not purify himself, he's an av hatumah. A dead body is avi avos, a grandfather, so to speak. Anyone who comes in contact with the dead body is an av. If an av hatumah goes into the mishkan, he goes into machane shechina, he's chayiv kares. Someone who's an av hatumah is not allowed to go into machane shechina. We have to remember there are three different sections in the Beis Hamikdash. There is the Azora, there is the Har Habayis, and Yerushalayim. That's it. The Azora is called Machane Shechina. The Har Habayis is called Machane Levia, and Yerushalayim is called Machane Yisrael. A person who is an av hatumah is not allowed to enter into the Azora, but is permitted to go into Machane Levia, which today is Har Habayis. So today we are all in the category of Tamei Nes. Every single person here at some point in time come in contact with a dead body, even in a room. If you're in an oil Hameis, go to a chapel, go even to a hospital, and there's a dead body in the hospital or in a room, automatically we become an Av HaTumah. I always wondered about children, babies. When a baby is born, the baby is not an Av HaTumah. If a baby is born in a hospital where there are no dead bodies, which probably is usually the case, I'd imagine that the maternity ward is not always connected halakhically to the morgue. I don't know. I really don't. I'm sure every hospital is a different situation. It's very complicated how tumor spreads in the building. It's very complicated. But let's say, for argument's sake, that the baby is born at home. Okay, you have a midwife. A woman comes, she's born at home. So the baby, there's no one dead in the head. There's no dead bodies around. So the baby is not tummy. The baby at most is a rishon l'tumah. If the mother is an av hatumah, because the mother at some point in time in her life came in contact with dead body in the Il Hameis, so she's an av. So when she touches the baby becomes a rishon. So I always wondered about that people today, you can have a person who never came, a baby, an infant when it's born, is not necessarily an av hatumah. He's pure. He's only a rishon l'tumah because an av hatumah touched him. If no one touches him, everyone is wearing gloves. Could you imagine if a baby comes out of his mother's womb and no one ever touches the baby but Zman Hazeh, Does that mean the baby is tar? The baby is not even a rishon? Is that possible? What would the advantage be? I don't know. He would learn Torah b'tahira. He's a pure person, never came in contact with Tumas Hametz. Okay, but in any event, today we all assume every single person today has to be with the assumption that they're an avatama. Therefore, where is an avatama in today's day and age not allowed to enter? The only place an avatama is not allowed to enter is the Azara. But an avatama is allowed to enter Machane Levi, which is the Har HaBayis. How do you know this?
How do you get there?
We're going to get there. Get where? What do you mean get where? Get where?
Machane Levi if you can't go into the Azara.
Machane Levi is outside the Azara. The Azara is the center. The Azara is the inside, the inside. What's the problem? Today.
What's the base of Mikdash?
The base of Mikdash is a little teeny little building on the Har HaBayis.
And what's today, that?
Today, the Har HaBayis, the big wall today around the Har HaBayis. It existed, the Har HaBayis, Temple Mount. The Temple Mount is approximately 500 almost 1,000 feet by 2,000 feet. Today, there's a big area on called the Temple Mount, which is above the Kosel HaMaravi, and that area, the Kosel HaMaravi, is one of the walls of the Har HaBayis. The Kosel HaMaravi that we go to is the western wall of the Har HaBayis, and it continues on all four sides. Now, the walls that are today are not the original walls that existed in the time of the Bayis Shem. They were rebuilt. They're not the same wall. They were rebuilt. But generally, it's the general outline. The walls that surround that, there are four walls that go all the way around the Temple Mount. Inside those four walls is what we call Machane Levia. We make it very simple. Machane Levia is a person who's a Tamei Mason. Are they allowed to go in Machane Levia? Yes. Why? It says in the passage, by Yikach Moshe, es atmos Yosef imoi. Moshe Rabbeinu was a lady. And Moshe took the bones of Yosef. Yosef is a dead body. It's an avatoma. He brought the bones inside his mechitza. So what do you learn from that? That Moshe Rabbeinu became a tamei mes. He became contaminated to the dead. And Moshe Rabbeinu went into Machane Levia. Now, within a little teeny section within Machane Levia is an area where they built the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very small area. And that small area is called Machane Shechina. Today, we don't know exactly where on the Har HaBayis is the Azara. We don't know exactly, but we have a pretty good idea. Therefore, when you see Orthodox Jews going on the Temple Mount, okay, which is a very controversial thing to do, when you see Orthodox Jews going up the rim and going on to the Temple Mount, you'll say, how could you go to the Temple Mount? You're Tomei Neis. You're an Avatuma. The only way you can remove the Avatuma is by immersing in the mikvah and having someone sprinkle upon you Paraduma water day 3 and day 7 and say, we don't have Paraduma water. How? So they'll answer, I'm not going to the area of the Azara. I'm going to avoid the section where the Beis HaMikdash was actually built. Because the place where the Beis HaMikdash
was... What's the concept of Tumah Hutra Bet Sibur?
Tumah, that's only when you bring a carbon. No one's bringing a carbon. Now,
only
right.
For a carbon.
If we were bringing this Pesach, Erev Pesach, and we need to bring, or even Tumah Shel Shachar, then you're right. Then the Kohanim or Tumah are allowed to go to the place of the Azara to bring the carbon. You're right. Then the Kohanim would be allowed to go there in a state of Tumah to bring the carbon. Tumah Shel Shachar bin Abayim, and the whole Klal Yisrael is a carbon Sibor through a carbon Pesach. Why then don't we bring today a carbon? It's another story. But a person who is a Tamei Mace is allowed to go in Machane Levia, but is not allowed to go into Machane Shechina. Machane Shechina is the place of the Azara. Where on the Temple Mount is the Azara? We don't know exactly, but we have a pretty good idea. And therefore, the people who go on the Temple Mount, they'll tell you they're very careful. They're not going in any area where there's a possibility this is where the Azara once upon stood. We're only going in the area which is considered to be the Temple Mount, the Har HaBayis, which has the status of Machane Levia, a Machane Leviya is a Tamei Nes is permitted to go in an area of Tamei Nes. Why the Mishnah controversial? There are another 20 reasons why you shouldn't do it anyway, why you don't do it. One of the reasons is because even though you may not be Tamei Nes, maybe a Zav. You may be a Zav. What is a Zav? A Zav is a person who has a bodily emission 2 days in a row. Now, and it's something similar to Sichra Zera. Today, we don't know what Ziva is. We don't know what it is. And therefore, there's a concern that every man, maybe someday at some point in his life, he had emission 2 days in a row with an emission that's not called Zera, but it's called Ziva. And if that is indeed true, then he needs to observe 7 clean days. And he has to immerse in a Mayan. So a person who is a Zav is not allowed to enter Machane Leviya, which means the entire Temple Mount is totally off limits. The people who do go to Temple Mount will tell you that they don't hold a Gishchumah. They're not Zavim. They hold that today there's no such thing as Ziva. Ziva doesn't exist. It doesn't exist as Manazah. You don't have to be concerned about it. And therefore, the only issue is Tumas Mes or not Tamei Mes. These are halachic issues. Halachic issues.
You don't need them. They make people go to the mikvah, I thought.
They're not gaining anything. Maybe for Tzilat Ezra. I don't know the answer. It could be that if a person has Shichra Zera, Tzilat Ezra, it could be he's also not allowed to be on Harabayas. Uh-huh. So you have to go to mikvah just in case a person is contaminated because of Tzilat Ezra, which means he had a healthy emission of a man, of a Shichra Zera. Person who had that can go to mikvah, and mikvah will purify him from that form of tumah to allow him to go on the Har HaBayis.
Mm-hmm.
So I believe that's why you have to go to mikvah. That's what it is because of Tumas Ezra. Someone who's Moshe Zera, he's not allowed to be on the Har HaBayis. In Machane Leviya. But Ziva, you're also not allowed to be on the Har HaBayis. So that's it. We're going over here. The point over here is over here the pasuk is teaching the halacha. This, by the way, is the halacha. Why you can go on the Har HaBayis? Or people don't know this pasuk. Because the pasuk of the Yosef, Kol HaNegeah, B'neis, B'neis HaDam, HaShem Yomash, V'lo Yishchata, any person that touches. The Targum says does not mean touch. HaNegeah, we translate as touch, but the Targum, the Yikra, you come near. Coming near means you can be in the Oyel HaMeis, you can be in the same territory, the same Mechitza. Then, V'lo Yishchata, he has not gone through the procedure of purification of the Hebrew 7. If he proceeds to enter into the Mishkan here means Machane Shechina, the actual place of the Azara, where the menorah is, the shulchan is, the mizbeach hazav is, the mizbeach hanachoshes, the Azara, the place where they bring korban, that section, that's such a big section, the whole Azara, then it says it's chayiv kares. It's chayiv kares for coming into such an area as mishkan Hashem, tinei v'niv v'nichasach, and never should be zoki, why? Maybe the lo'z zayrakolah. She never went through the process. And therefore, Tamei Yihyeh, he will remain Tamei. Oh, to Masrabo, he will remain Tamei as long as the Tumah is upon him, as until he goes and he purifies himself from this contamination. And again, that's why some people are nervous to go into the Harabayis, because today every single person is in this Pasuk. Every single person, every single living person today, Shemat, sits in the Pasuk of Gimel. Every single living person has fulfilled by themselves the words, Kol HaNegeah, every single one of us has fulfilled this part. We've come in the vicinity of a dead body of a human being, and we have not undergone the procedure of paraduma. Okay? We're in this process. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. These 9 words, we have fulfilled these 9 words. And what does the pasuk now say? Oh, you want to go on the Har HaBayis, and you want to inch your way to the place where the Beis HaMikdash once stood, You want to stand in the place of where the Mizbeach is. You want to stand in the place where the Shulchan was, where the Oven was. And you don't go, your Tommy Mace, if you do so, you should know you are bringing more contamination into that location, and the consequences kores. Now, are we so confident? Are we so confident today to be sure? Okay, are we so confident today to be sure? Or we know where the Azari is? Well, some people seem to be very confident they know where it is. And maybe they probably, and they take precautions. But other people, I mean, there are 10 reasons why many Rabbanim advise you should not go on the Har Habayis, especially if you don't live in Eretz Yisrael. If you are a tourist from America living the good life and you come to visit Eretz Yisrael, it's none of your business to go on the Har Habayis. And it's none of our business to tell the people who live in Eretz Yisrael not to go on the Har Habayis. The people who live in Eretz Yisrael who want to go on the Har Habayis, there's room to hate. Maybe they taka should go. Because the culture there is, if you don't put these people, our enemies, in their place, they'll just step on you. They'll just step on your head. But that's for them to do, not for us to do. Because when you do it, you're provoking them. And it gets very dangerous. And when they get provoked, they can lash out. So what kind of a chutzpah is an American to go visit Eretz Yisrael, to go on the Har Habayis, start davening, to provoke them, and one thing leads to another, and there are riots, and where's the American? Oh, he's back in America. He got back on the plane, he ran away. And who's the one that's going to suffer the consequence of the riots, of all the rocks, all the shagas? The Israelis. So you're coming to make trouble, an American is coming to go on the Har Habayis, to provoke the Arabs, and then they get very upset and worked on them, the Sugayim, and they start doing crazy things. And the ones who suffer are the Israelis, because the American tourist who came to go through the Har Habayis, he by now is back on the plane, back in America, driving around his Tesla. That's not fair. That's not fair. You have no right to go provoke Arabs and run away if you live in the land and you're an Israeli and you want to tell these people, you know, get lost and you want to be tough. Okay, you know, it's none of our business. It's none of our business to tell them what to do. If they are confident that where they're walking is not the Har Habayis, good for you. You're allowed to. Halakha permits you to do so. Haskafa, you want to say yes, it's a holy place. You know, when it comes to Haskafa, when it comes to matters of Haskafa, you got to be very, very careful. Everyone has a different Haskafa. Okay, let's go further.
I have to go from there. Okay, good night.
Okay, good night. Be well.
How late are you learning tonight?
No, because we started late tonight. I figured out.
Yeah, I got it. Okay.
We're going to be until 8:15. I couldn't be here on time.
No, okay.
Wonderful night. Be well. Thank you. Let's go over here. Let's go back to Rashi. It says here So Rashi says ha'adam lohaytzi to exclude. Rashi says nefesh the neshama nefesh the behima the aim to masat shicha hazah. Rashi here says a very powerful word that a behima has a nefesh. The animal has a nefesh. Now that does not mean an animal has a neshama. There are many words to describe the soul, the life force. There are many words that describe the life force of creatures. An animal has a nefesh. If a human being comes in contact with the nefesh, the hema, he does not need para aduma water. Dover achav nefesh, zo reviyas dam. Another interpretation. What is the word nefesh? What does it say? What does it say? Another meaning of the word nefesh is to teach you the word is superfluous. Why is it superfluous? Because the prophet has just said, "Kol hanogeya b'neis, b'neis adam." Why does it say b'nefesh adam? the word nefesh is coming to be nanayit. It's like a double negative. It's an emphasis, a ha'adam. Once it says nefesh, there's no need to say ha'adam. Why did it say ha'adam? To exclude animals. So let it just say ha'adam and let it not say nefesh. If it would say nefesh, we don't need the word nefesh. You're right. We don't need the word nefesh. Once it says ha'adam, the nes ha'adam, we don't need the word nefesh. So why didn't it say the word nefesh? To be marbe, blood. That if a person comes in contact with a revius, what is a revius? 3 ounces. Three little disposable schnapps cups of blood. The person is now an av hatoma. Again, there are two words that are superfluous. It says b'nefesh ha'adam. It could have just said b'nes. If it only said the nes and did not say ha'adam, we would be misled to believe that if a person comes to contact with a dead animal, he needs paraduma water. Now, once it says ha'adam, why then does it say the word nefesh? Because it's coming to be marbe, to include even coming in contact with 3 schnapps cups of human blood. And once you have shot, why 3? Why a revius of blood? It's very small. It's not a lot of blood. Because when a baby, this is what I saw written up. I have no idea where I saw this. If anyone here is a doctor, you can tell me if this is true or not. You can do research. When a baby is 40 days old, that's when halacha considers it to be a viable child. 40 days. Until the baby is 40 days after conception. From the moment of conception, for the next 40 days, it is not considered to be viable. It's considered to be maya ba'alma. Once it gets to day 40, in the world of halacha, it's considered to be something significant. How, if you were to somehow take the body, the mother and the baby apart, and you would wring out blood from the uba that's 40 days old, which is almost nothing. After 40 days, the baby is, how big could the baby already be in there? I have no idea. Supposedly, you would wring out Can you hear me? Yeah? Okay, after 40 days, 40, after 40 days, you would be able to wring out exactly a revius of blood. The moment a human being is called in halacha a living creature that has to be dealt with, the amount of blood that is present is a revius. 3 ounces of blood. Now, I don't know how much blood is there in an adult. And a healthy adult, if you let him bleed out, how much blood could you extract? I don't know what the numbers
are. 5 pints. 5 pints.
5 pints. And how many ounces are there in a pint?
16.
16 ounces. So 16 multiplied by 5?
80. 80.
80. So 80 ounces in an adult. An adult has 80 ounces of blood. A baby, 40 days old, has 3 ounces of blood. This is what I once read a long, long time ago. Is it true? I don't know. That's what I remember. That's what sticks in my head. And that's the reason why Chazal said we have a ribui nefesh ki hadam hu hanefesh. So where do they come up with this magic number of 3 of a revius of dam? Because the first moment when a human being is viable in halacha, it's 40 days old, there's exactly a revius of blood. Okay, that is what I remember now. The other reasons, this is halacha Moshim Sinai, but this is just a little bit of flavor. Next, if Mishkan Hashem Tine Disminas, this followed the Mishkan Hashem in Nichnas Azor Asimu B'Tzivilo B'Loy HaZor Shlishim Shvihi, if a person enters in to the area of the mikdash, even if he went to the mikvah, I went to the mikvah, but he did not have the purification water sprinkled upon him day 3, day 7, the pasuk says, v'nichrisa, Yischayiv Kar. So therefore, there is no person today is allowed to go and step in the area of the Azor. Now, I shouldn't say no one, because there is the sheet of the Ravid. And the Ravid is misunderstood. The Ravid doesn't mean it's mutar l'chatchila. The Ravid holds that once the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, its Kedusha departed. It's no longer there. And therefore, the Mokom has no sanctity, and that would technically allow a person to walk and tread in the area where the Kodesh HaKadoshim once was. The area of the Kodesh HaKadoshim only had sanctity when there was a Beis HaMikdash. If the Beis HaMikdash is no longer present, then the sanctity of the Mokom disappears, and there are no consequences for going in that location. That is, now when the Ravid said this, you have to read the words of the Ravid very carefully. And after a lot of people have studied this very, very, very intensely. And it's, I mean, also there are other factors, different gears. So it's the Ravid, but at the end of the day, it's very clear when the Ravid wrote this, he's not telling you as a matter of fact, this is how it is, and therefore, run, l'chatchila, you should run and step on the place of where the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He writes it as if a person, by accident, by mistake, goes there. You can't say his chayiv karis, because maybe there's no Kedusha. The Ravid is not coming to condone until people run and step and examine the place of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Adarabi is telling you, don't you dare, but just in case you happen to go there by mistake, the world doesn't come to an end, because it's very likely there's no Kedusha. So that's a very important sniff. Sniff means like a branch. It's a contributing factor. A contributing factor that you can add to the mix to combine to a lenient approach to going on a Temple Mount. You have to appreciate, this is a very big topic of discussion, Temple Mount. The Temple Mount, by default, you have to, what really comes out according to the Poskim who are responsible. The Poskim and Eretz Yisrael who are responsible, they'll tell you, you can't go to Temple Mount. It's usur. You have to have a reason to go. Why would you want to go? A person, there's a hospital, a corona hospital. You want to go to the corona hospital? You want to go for a tour? You want to go? Put on a mask, we'll put on gloves, we'll put on this, we'll do that, all these things. Why you want to go? Why? Well, you want to just go look around, see what it looks like? You're crazy. The place is a sakara nefashis to go there. But I'm protected. So what, you're protected? You never know. You don't belong there. Why do you want to go to the Har Bayis? The place is saturated with Kedusha. You have to have a reason to go. So Corona, you know why I want to go? Because my relative is dying in the hospital. I want to be there with him. It's worth it for me. I'll put on a mask. I'll do all the things because I want to be there with him. He's dying. I have a reason why I want to go. Why do I want to go on the Har Bayis? Because I want to let these hilarious know that it's our land. And butt off. Get out of here. Get lost. The Israelis, they know who they're dealing with. We don't understand this. We live in America. We don't understand this. But Israelis, are you dealing here with wicked people? And you have to tell them, get lost. This is not your land. This is our land. And that's the reason why I want to go, to make a statement that this is our land. Oh, you have a reason. You have a reason. If that, you have a reason, okay. Now we can negotiate. You're going to go. Hey, you know, maybe you're a Zof. No such thing, Bizman Hazed Diva. All right, I can't argue with you. Maybe you're right. I can't say that there is, and you can't say that there's not. Okay, no one knows. There's no clarity if today a person today is a Zov or not. Okay, maybe we are, maybe we're not. You want to say we're not? I can't tell you you're wrong. You want to be Mako. So what else? But you're not allowed to go where the Beis HaMikdash was. Now you can't go. You can't go where the Azor was. That's all. You go on the Hot Temple Mount, but you can't go to the place where the actual Azor was. I know where it was. Really? You know where it was? You know exactly where it was? I don't know exactly, but I pretty much know the general areas. I won't go in the general area. Can I argue with you? I can argue with you. You got a good point. So you have to have a good reason to go. And you got to take all the precautions. And you have to be there to suffer the consequences for your actions. An American has no excuse to go. That's how I was brought up. That's the hashkafa that I very much believe in, is that Americans who live in the Chutz La'aretz have no business on Temple Mount. Number two, an American has absolutely no business telling the Israelis what to do about the Temple Mount. None of your business. You know, they live in land you don't. The Israelis, of course, religious, Haredim, they have what to work with. To us, it's a little bit strange. Why would you want to go there if nothing's better to do? But if they have a good reason, and once you study Eretz Yisrael and you visit enough times, you get a flavor of what's going on over there, and you realize the Middle East is not America, it's a very dangerous place, then you'll already get a bit of appreciation of why indeed it might be not such a bad idea for them to let these people know that this is not a world of hefka. Again, that's for them. That's not for us. Because we're not there in the land to suffer the consequence of this provocative behavior. Okay, we're out of time, Rabbi Sai. I think we deal with something over here a little bit. Have a wonderful night. The Mishnah tomorrow at this time, we're going to do a Mishnah Siddur at 7:15. Have a good night. Be well. All the best.
Shkoyach. How you doing?
Mayor? Huh?
Yeah, how you doing?
All right, how are you?
All right, I won't be around tomorrow. I have to be...